I'm going to invite Lainey up again, and we're going to have a little chat with Lainey. So, Lainey, why fruitfulness?
So we have a slide set for you, so that'll come up. Basically, I love this message about fruitfulness. It's a workshop I did yesterday for a conference, and basically it's part of empowering all of God's people to flourish in everyday mission. And so we hope today is just a little taster of a broader way of seeing our mission and how God can use us. So today's session will have some biblical basis and some practical ideas to help us open our eyes to the possibilities that God's put all around us and all around you as well. And I really mean all of us. So our church, I'm with the WPC, and we run the fruitfulness with the children as well. And we've even interviewed the teens and tweens about their front lines. So we'll be looking at six areas in which people like you, you're probably doing it already, but you don't realise God's at work. So we're praying we can expand your sights on Jesus' command to go into all the world and what it means to love and serve Jesus by loving and serving those he's put you where he's put you right where you are. So if I think about a work day, for example, or our other tasks, paid or unpaid, we could just do those set tasks and switch off at the end of the day. But what if by developing friendships in our workplaces, we could make our work day richer and impact others' work day? Or what if more than that, you could impact their lives or even their eternal life? What if love for people could do that? And in what ways could we show that? And so we're talking about friendships and improving another person's day. I thought I'd give you an example from one of the ladies I pray with in the city. We've been praying for over 3 years. In some ways, her job can be quite menial. It's a bit of a treadmill. It's a bit frustrating. She's got difficult managers and difficult situations. And if it was just about the work, yeah, she'd probably leave. But what's God shown her and us in the prayer team with her, he's shown us time and time again that he has Jetha there for his higher purposes. And it's in the relationships that she has there. Basically, Jetha has, she's loved people. She's been like a workplace chaplain on the spot in the moment. She brings a ray of cheerful sunshine to her workplace. And they mention when she's away that they miss her. And she's turned a friend into one of those difficult managers who's actually turned out had no friends. She's made friends with that lady and they see each other outside of work. And she's also spoken the wisdom of the Bible to another lady where they've built a really fruitful friendship. And basically through prayer and reliance on God, she's got lots of meaning and making a difference in her work, even though the tasks of work aren't that exciting. And that's one of the reasons City Bible Forum exists, to get alongside workers like all of you and to help you see your workplaces in a new light, to see that God's there and Christians can flourish in the fruitfulness from Jesus and for Jesus.
Okay, so CBF is on the front line. Can you tell us what a front line is and why and how you use fruitfulness?
What a front line is, so actually it's you guys who are on the front line. So front lines are anywhere where we spend significant time in our week in contact with unbelievers. So work's an obvious one, plus there's the school, so kids at school, there's uni, the school gate with parents or grandparents dropping the kids off, there's the gym, cafes, retirees groups and other community groups. So front lines are anywhere. And I might give lots of examples from the workplace, but I want you to help try and see broader, keep hearing frontline. And of course it applies to you and applies for people we're leading and discipling. So I look forward to catching up afterwards and finding out where your front lines are. Basically what we're saying is through Jesus, every single one of us has a ministry. And God's put you in places where pastors like Larry or myself can't go. So I'm in the city, but I can't just wander into a building and make friends with somebody. So let's be Jesus' hands and feet in those places. And as the verse from 1 Peter on the screen says, to live such good lives among the pagans. That's our front line. So we're called to live and work joyfully and overflowing with love beyond our church doors, and it's all to God's glory. And so Jesus puts his followers in so many places, and basically these are the citizens of heaven and citizens of the kingdom, and they bear fruit for the kingdom. Here's our fruitfulness. Here we go. And if you think about it, we find fruit on the first and last pages of Scripture, in the Garden of Eden and in the New Jerusalem, and almost everywhere in between. And if we look closely, we can see that God has a desire for fruitfulness, and it's as extensive as the gospel. It's what God has done in Christ in bringing men and women back to himself and setting in motion his plan to restore the whole of creation, including our paid and unpaid work. And then we know with union with Jesus, and that's that union in Jesus in the vine, that means participation in the restored end time of God. And we're called to bear fruit to his glory. And we see there in John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That whole vine imagery in that chapter points to access to life and vitality. So we're praying and working to see fruit in the spread of the gospel. And you'll notice in both these slides, in these passages, I'm going to go backwards, there we go, both of them have in the rosy red there, they glorify God. So wherever he puts us, it's to glorify him. And whatever he has us do, it is to glorify him.
Is sharing the gospel the only way to be fruitful?
What's exciting about this material is that we're going to look at six ways where God can use us in doing his work, six ways of fruitfulness. So it's a practical tips we're looking at. Let's have a look at those six. So we're looking at ministering grace and love, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, modelling godly character, moulding culture, making good work, and being a messenger of the gospel. So yes, the gospel is there, but we're showing that there's lots of other ways of being fruitful. So it's really helpful. The author, Mark Green, has helpfully made them all start with an M. And so this is just a little light intro for us today. And I have ways that you can look into it deeper, especially into the Bible. And I'll share another case study from a workplace in the city.
Can you go into detail about some of the ways?
We can. Let's jump into our first one. Minister grace and love. And Dan's reading the Bible passages for me today.
Minister grace and love. This is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
It's great to know grace. So for ourselves, some workplaces can be difficult. So we might not be experiencing grace and love from people in our workplaces or wherever our front lines are, but we know grace and love of an awesome creator, don't we? And so there are many ways for us likewise to minister grace and love. We can share practical care and kindness for those who need it. We can show it through the way we respond in difficult and also ordinary situations. How about, in your workplace, a meal for someone who's going through a family bereavement or an illness? And being a listener, as I pointed out with Jeetha, there's so many times we've seen workers who are on the spot and get to be accidental workplace chaplains. So we're praying that God would tune our eyes and ears to look around us for clues for lonely people amongst those crowded places. So the gym might be a crowded class, but there could be a lonely person there. And we certainly do see it in offices as well. So pop in some friendly conversations, show some interest, take lunch together, make the tea, do the coffee run and leave chocolate. And I've found that science has shown that little hellos and conversations, even with strangers, gives you a boost and gives them a boost. And it's that idea of don't just wish someone a nice day, but be the nice in someone's day. That's just a couple of ways to share minister grace and love. Our second M is being a mouthpiece for truth and justice.
This is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
So here we see in Micah, and throughout the whole Old Testament, we learn that the God of Israel cares deeply about the ethical conduct of his people. He cares about their relationship with him and about justice and goodness. To walk humbly with your Creator is to rely on him and to have his character. So he can give us courage and wisdom to respond in the right way to any issues of injustice we might encounter on our front lines. So there'll be times when it means speaking up against things that are unfair, unhealthy, or untruthful, and it all means speaking up for things that are true and just and good. But this justice working does take courage and wisdom and prayer. The truth and justice on our front lines means to see people as humans, images of God, with dignity. There is no lowest and no highest CEO in God's kingdom of workers. Justice working will treat all people well, and not speaking negatively to or about people. So pray for help in how to love difficult people and how to seek good for them. Even find positives to give thanks for those difficult times. This sort of positiveness and gratitude really is a gift from God, and it helps us get through our day. Let's read from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, and this is our third M, modelling godly character.
22 to 26. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
You picture, you'll experience that work life has tough times and easy times. We find ourselves working with difficult people and delightful people. Within this mix, how might we manifest the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? It really can stand out in difficult workplaces. So we do, don't we? We find ourselves with difficult people, those who don't have the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we respond to obnoxious peers or an ogre boss? And so our front lines are important places that God uses where godly character can be both developed and displayed in us. So God uses our front lines to shape our godliness. Another aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is that it's characterised by an inner assurance and selfless love that helps us to be outward orientated in our workplaces. We're also secure in our relationship with God, and our identity is in Him rather than in our work. So this also frees us to, we can unmask and we can be vulnerable where appropriate. And this gives openings to others to be able to share their struggles as well. And that gives us opportunities to speak into their lives. I'll jump straight into our next M, which is moulding culture. Did I jump a screen, did I? There we go.
This verse is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because it prospers. For if it prospers, you too will prosper.
So this verse in Jeremiah is the desire to bless others with shalom. It's desiring peace, wholeness, flourishing and well-being for another. And of course, the greatest prosperity, peace and wellness people can know is in relationship with Creator God. So our workplace has a particular culture, the way we do things around here. Some parts of that culture will reflect God's values, and some probably won't. So affirm what's good about your workplace culture, and perhaps there are ways that you can help make the office or your front line a better place to be. So although you may not be able to change the way your company does things by next Monday, with prayer you may be able to begin with a few people and a few small actions. What things bother you, and what are the values that underpin them? What could be done differently and help make it a better place where people can flourish? What would make it be more like God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? And so it'd be great to chat to you afterwards to see if you have ideas about workplace culture and how it can encourage human flourishing.
I like the idea about taking in biscuits. You know, something as simple as that can be, you know, something that you're evangelising to the workplace in kindness.
Yeah, we have a good example of that. One of our ladies, she's a consultant in her workplace, and the team that does the casework, They have quite a difficult boss. So she has lollies on her desk so that when they come and have to consult her for things, they can grab a little sweet thing. I think that's had to change in COVID times, but that was her idea, a little bit of lightness in their day is what she does there.
You've seen this at work in City Bible Forum. Can you share some stories?
Yes. Let's meet PJ. This is PJ and her dog, Grolly. Grolly doesn't go to work. But she really works at seeing her workplace and the people the way God sees them and to make it a place where people can flourish. So this particular workplace where she started, PJ is what's called a project admin, and it's a support role in engineering companies. When she started at this place, she didn't call it a toxic dynamic, but some people probably would. The workers didn't feel like a team. There was a really difficult office director. He was really directive. He wasn't collaborative. He was quite reactive. He went off quite easily. Unknowingly or not realising it, he set people up for failures in the way he communicated. He was often critical and would cut people down in public, such as at the staff meetings, and really no encouragements. And the effect this had on the workers there was that there were undercurrents of fear and resentment and grumbling. And so when PJ arrived, she found that at least half of them were looking for jobs elsewhere. And so much so they didn't like being there and amongst each other, they didn't even want to come to their Christmas party. So PJ paused and she made observations, and with prayer team we prayed for God's insight. What she observed is the director, he's a good operator, he's a hard worker, but he got a bit lost in the woods with the trees and he was managed to overload himself. She came to observe and she worked out what caused his overload and his reactivity, his flare-ups. And so what she did was she got alongside him, so with prayer, we'd all been praying behind her, alongside him, and she suggested implementing a few ideas and requested a budget to do those things. And so what she implemented through a few little ideas was trying to make it a more encouraging and engagement environment. She started thank you cards. The notice boards were more about the people in the workplace. She started celebration morning teas for birthdays, anniversaries of their time at that workplace, and a recognition of achievements in work and outside of work. And the monthly staff meetings became more collaborative, managed to deploy some of the activities of the meetings to the other managers. So that's just a few of the ideas. There was a bunch of other ones as well. And so the results of that were, after about 18 months, 2 years, people had stopped looking for other jobs and nobody left. There was just one difficult guy left, but the rest of the team stayed. So the staff meetings are organised and chaired by one of the other managers, not the director. The meetings are no longer dreaded or feared by the staff. And the managers feel more empowered. There's a better distribution of the work and the director doesn't have to micromanage every detail, so he's not overloaded. And the good news about the Christmas party, the following year, PJ and the managers organised it instead of the director. And most of the team came. The director even started stopping by and having conversations with people, and he was learning about their lives outside of work. And people are more than just the tasks they do at work. So what helped PJ and her perseverance in this effort? Like the others, very quickly, PJ certainly wanted to leave as well. It was pretty hard being so discouraged, the tears, and she's discouraged seeing everybody else's in tears, mostly the women. But PJ has a serving mindset because her true boss, her ultimate boss, is a saviour who served his people, Jesus the servant king. And he sacrificed himself for the good of others, for us to have an abundant life instead of bondage. So what really helped PJ to keep that reminder was being part of a prayer team. And that's we have groups of those in town. And so we had biblical application and prayer for God's hand on all of it, for all the work people in that team, for their workplaces. So for strength, for courage, wisdom and love that comes from him. Praying for patience, for grace, and to change our outlook on how we see the people around us. And so there was that supporting each other in those struggles, putting these M ideas in place. We happened to be looking at a biblical series of those at the time. And we celebrated those improvements together and we give thanks to our gracious God. And so she also knows that Jesus is walking alongside her into hard meetings and gives her courage. So you can also see in that story that there's an aspect of justice working. She was able to stand up for others and herself. That's the issues that were bringing tears. And you can see that God brought flourishing through his instrument, PJ, and a taste of the kingdom to their workplace. They worked more as a team and had happier work days. And the families these workers went home to probably benefited as well. And so that's real shalom wholeness. So we've looked at 4 out of 6 of our M's. We call them the 6 M's. So we've seen minister grace and love, mouthpiece of truth and justice, modelling godly character and moulding culture. So you can see how reflecting on these M ideas with some thoughts, some prayer, being intentional about looking outwards and relying on God's strength to love and serve. He helps us see him at work and we can give thanks.
Well, we've gone through 4. What are the other 2?
Last 2 to hop into. Let's jump into make good work. That one is a Bible verse from Colossians for us.
Chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving.
So let's have a little unpack of this one. So making good work, that's paid and unpaid, all our tasks in all our areas of our life, it includes both what we do and how we do it. It means doing good work, there's the tasks, which might be serving other people, they could be contributing to human flourishing, that's the tasks, and stewards of creation. So think of the tasks of a farmer, he's providing food, and the truck driver delivering it. All tasks can be done for him. When we think of our COVID times, what's a critical task saving lives in hospitals? I reckon it's the cleaning. And watching you guys cleaning the tables out here earlier, so the cleaning, it's an important task we do for the Lord, and doing them consciously for him and in the Spirit to his glory. And we do that seeking his wisdom, his strength, and his touch. So working with integrity, seeking excellence and diligence, your best with his transforming help. We can call on God during our workday for wisdom, pray for his help, and to give thanks when you see him at work. So there is an aspect where this could be just those tasks, could just be incarnational working that anyone can do. Obviously, everyone does have a job, does do work. But we have the Spirit empowering and shaping his work and that it may be to his glory. Okay, our last M, the one we're most familiar with a passage from Isaiah 52.
Verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns.
Our last M, where God uses us to be a messenger of the gospel. And we quite recognise that the most life-transforming words are the words of the gospel. It's the best news we can share with anyone on any front line. And having a go at some of the other M areas we've listed can lead to opportunities to be this messenger. All the other M's are God at work, but we're being clear here that the gospel is words. But the key part we're trying to encourage us in this series is don't be driven by false guilt. We want to rest in God, to trust his timing, to build and trust relationships and care for people and share what Jesus has done in your life and what he offers to everyone. Enjoy your Bible reading and overflow with it. Share those words you're loving and what he's teaching you. It's just a couple of ideas there.
I like that 5 of them, you know, I always think that going out and sharing the message is what I need to be doing, but I like that 5 of these points are telling me, you know, you don't have to just go out and share the message. Mm. You know, there's other things showing your love like Jesus showed his love to others. You know, that's very important. Mm. So what is a practical path to fruitfulness for all of us on the front line?
Mm. So I think you made a good point there. So there's sharing the message and there's being the message. The other M's are being the gospel, living out the gospel as well as sharing it. So a practical part is prayer, which underpins all our gospel endeavours. So God is at work, you're his instrument, and he helps you to be open to having his heart for the loss that he's put you amongst. There's a myriad of opportunities where he's put you. And that's what the M's are trying to open up for you, that there's, when I talk about it's a guilt treadmill, we think because we're not sharing just the gospel, we think we're not being fruitful. But this really opens it up and is to encourage you that you're probably doing it already. You're probably being fruitful and God's using you. So there's lots of opportunities where he's put you. And it's amazing how you see those opportunities when you're praying for them. And I see that in prayer teams. People come along and say, oh, my workplace doesn't give me many opportunities. And then we start praying, and after a month or so, there's like they realise there's oodles of there. It's funny, I call it a opportunity radar. We think there's none, and we start praying, and God turns those lights on for us. So you mightn't get an opportunity every week or every month, but ask God for whom he might want you to pray. And team up with others to pray and to pray together for those endeavours, and also to offer wisdom to one another and to hold each other accountable. And so with trust and dependence in prayer, he can change our attitudes and how we see our work and the people there or wherever our front lines are. He helps us to look outwards more and inwards less, and especially to look upwards to his purposes. So we might think we're just a small cog in a big wheel, and that our activities, those little tasks we do, make a difference, and they do, but we can be a difference. We can show interest in other people and show love and extend grace. So he helps us with our mindset to see the Creator in those places, and he's bringing a little piece of his kingdom to front lines. So there's our six M's. I might have a different order here, but basically we're instruments to model his character, to make good work, to minister grace and love, to mould culture, and to be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and to share his message. And so it's just ideas. You don't have to do all of them. Just think of one idea and remember intentional prayer. And so we're saying, yeah, jump off the guilt treadmill, because I really do think he is already using you, and it's encouraging to see the way he does. So there's six areas there with oodles of ways that he's using you. So we have reliance on him. Front lines are places where he's put you, and he is present. I encourage you to seek his presence there. So ask for and have his eyes, his help, to look around with a new heart and new eyes, because he uses us in big and small ways. Just be available. So you can see he uses us in lots of ways, as well as sharing the words of the gospel. Now this is a little prayer card that comes from the Fruitfulness on the Frontline material. So it has the verse on one side, and then in a prayer is the six M's. So we're praying that these ideas liberate you, all God's people, for your everyday mission. And that's central to God's purposes, isn't it? So it's critical for all churches' mission, for the health of churches, and it's really quite vital for reaching Bedford, for WA, and all of Australia for Christ. And it is quite urgent. So what we're looking at here, we're encouraged to build bridges, to make new relationships, but what we're also trying to show here is that in our front lines and our workplaces, those bridges are already built. There's relationships already there. And this little quote from Mark Green: we're encouraged to go out and fish in pools and puddles when we're already sitting on a lake full of fish. You're surrounded by people who don't know him. So that's that lake full of fish. So God's at work wherever he puts us, in our workplaces, our businesses, there at the school gate or the kindy, the gym, out there in our community activities. He does use each of us, each of you, for his purposes in the ordinary things of our everyday. There's so many ways that you're his instrument of grace, and in so many places. Places that I can't go, remember, and that Larry can't go. You guys are there on the front lines. Ways to live out the gospel and making opportunities to share it and to bear much fruit. I thought I'd close us in prayer from Colossians. Let's do that. So it's in Colossians 1 initially. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience on front lines wherever he has put you. From Colossians 3, from verse 22, we can pray that you work with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord in whatever he's given you to do. Work at it with all your heart, as working not for human masters or ourselves, but for him. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord God you are serving. And from 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, whatever word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, for his glory.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm happy to chat more about that.
Yes, Lani will be sticking around if there's any questions or anything further you want to chat about. Your front line might not be work, it might be the hairdresser that you go and see every week. So Lani set up some material out on the table out the back there, and we'll stick around and answer any questions or have a chat.
Thanks.
Thank you.